looking to step one towards another conference football season. 9 o'clock Thursday morning, it'll start with Commissioner Larry Scott kicking things off. Pac-12 Media Days, who better to offer us a preview of all they've got up their sleeves coverage-wise. Our buddy and fellow Jersey guy repping the 201. Always a pleasure to welcome in Mike Yam. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I can always bank on you giving me the best introduction because of the Jersey connection. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate that living on the West Coast now.
It's a lot to live up to, or some people who think of Jersey maybe a little bit to live down to. But
I was going to say the bar's set pretty low.
Before,
what do they say, armpit of the country?
Well,
have you heard that before?
Oh, yeah. No, I actually have said myself, if you've been to Camden, then you know what the armpit of America looks like.
That's fair. Luckily, everyone in Eugene's like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Why are you talking about it?
Yeah.
Now, let's start with what really matters. Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, Brandon Jennings, and
basically everyone in Eugene's really getting upset with you right now.
But they understand because I've been doing this for a while.
I love it.
My question is, how much time are we going to need to notify our bosses that we're leaving and we're going back to the Garden for dinner, drinks, and the NBA Finals next June?
You know what? NBA Finals might be a little bit of a stretch, but I'm actually glad that you're on a page of Phil Jackson's thinking that these deals actually are okay. I mean, it's a lot of money, but everyone now in the NBA, I didn't really understand that the league was going to become like Mr. Monopoly and everyone just gets millions of dollars. And,
yeah.
Anyone who was really good, 5-10 years ago has to be cringing if they were going to be entering, a free agent contract potentially right now and getting paid what some of these guys are making. But I couldn't believe the amount of issue that people had with the Derrick Rose deal. Like, in my mind, you basically potentially upgraded significantly, and he's heading into the last year of his contract. You got arguably the best player in the deal. And to me, that's always a win. I don't understand. I think it's just Knicks fans just being upset. But I think they'll be good in the Eastern Conference. I think there's still some challenges. They don't have the best player in the world, who's LeBron James. So I think that was going to be a problem. Get out there and, we'll see. But I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, I think it's also might be Knicks fans getting smacked around for 15 years.
Since you don't believe that's going to go your way.
No, all I ask for is hope. So that's where we stand.
You'll get that.
Mike, since you last joined us on the show, got the Give Me a Sense podcast. For folks who haven't heard it yet, how much fun has that been? And, where and when could they find it online?
I appreciate you asking about it. It's on iTunes right now, and as you mentioned, it's the Give Me a Sense podcast. It's been a ton of fun. It is a labor of love. I'm a one-man band from booking, hosting, editing, promoting, all that stuff. But it's been fun. It's great because, and Steve, you know this, maybe it's a little different because I remember my radio days when I was doing that, exclusively. You're able to tell a lot of stories. You're not necessarily, up against it time-wise every single block. And
right.
On the TV side, sometimes that does happen. And, for me, just the conversations that I've had with people like Ronnie Lott or Matt Leinart or Ala Abdelnaby, who's another Jersey guy, just about some of their experiences away from the game or during the games that aren't necessarily out there. Those are like the memorable ones. So, you can probably have Yogi Roth on your show tomorrow, and Yogi will tell you about who he thinks is going to win the Pac-12 North or South, and you might forget that. But if Yogi tells you about, a quarterback competition, about why Max Brown is going to be the starting quarterback this year because he's the toughest guy mentally, and when they went on Navy SEAL training, the Navy SEAL said Max Brown is the one guy at SC that could hang with them.
Wow.
You're going to remember that story. You're not necessarily going to remember that he likes USC. To me, those are the types of things. So that's sort of the point of the show, is to tell some of those stories. And then for me, selfishly, I get a bunch of broadcasters on, and a lot of them are my buddies that I don't get to talk to as much. So we just get to basically just rap for, a half hour, 45 minutes on the phone, which is always fun for me.
No, I'm glad it's going well. It sounds awesome. So this coverage of Media Days on the Pac-12 networks, you'll be the host Thursday and Friday. I guess how massive is it going to be beyond just the 7 TV networks? Where else is it going to be available for fans to keep up with all that's happening?
Yeah, obviously on the social side, on pack-12.com, you'll be able to catch some of the shows, obviously on social media. But I think the reality is, as you made reference to, it's 2 days, nearly 8 hours of shows, and it's all 12 coaches. It's two players from every single program. So it's a ton of studs. And, for me, it's kind of cool because everyone's undefeated right now. It's an opportunity where everyone's in a good mood. They're willing to give you some stories. And I think from the student-athlete perspective, to be able to hear about some of these young guys and what they're doing off the field, to me, is always interesting because I think we're used to seeing them who really thrive on Saturdays, and you have this persona of them as being these big-time athletes, and they are, but they're still kids. They're still guys that are going to class. They're still, 18, 19, 20 years of age, willing to maybe do the stupid thing that we shouldn't be doing. But, to me, it's having some fun with some of those guys on the set and obviously the coaches, and it's always nice to get a coach who hasn't lost, and no one's lost right now, so that's always a win.
Talking with Mike Yam, Pac-12 Network studio host. You mentioned we know that the contingent for each program goes down with a coach and a couple players, but I would imagine you're going to have a veritable kind of who's who of the Pac-12 Network helping you provide analysis and asking questions.
Oh, 100%. Curtis Conway and Yogi Roth will be on set with me both days. We'll get Nigel Burton on the line as Washington Sound line. He'll be on set with us one of those days. And then obviously Nick Aliotti, who I know fairly well with his days with the Ducks as
sure.
Defensive coordinator. So that crew is going to be on set with us. And, just from a player standpoint, it's going to be great. I mean, Royce Freeman is obviously going to be down there. I think there's a lot of questions about Mark Helfrich coming off the season that they had last year. I think expectations, though, I think for some maybe a little bit lower than what we're used to seeing in recent memory, but the reality is they have so many weapons right now that it'll be hard. In my mind, they're still one of the premier teams in the conference.
And so for the first time at the Digital Plaza, I was doing some reading. So you guys are encouraging fans to come out. You've got activities for them. And so obviously you're going to be troublemakers because you're encouraging all the fans that come out to fly their school colors.
I'm all about that. What's disappointing? Because the last 3 years we've done this, we've been on a movie lot, whether it's Sony or Warner Brothers. This year we're actually doing it, and we're outdoors like we've always been, but now we have fans that are going to be able to kind of access, sort of our area in the Digital Plaza, as you made reference to. There's going to be a lot of fun. Believe me, that's going to be, I know what they're cooking up there, and it's going to be entertaining. And then, to be able to watch the show while it's going on, I think it's just a cool experience for fans that don't necessarily know what's happening on the other side of the camera. So you'll see, all of our cameras, our staff that's out there, and then obviously in the breaks, hopefully we'll have some downtime to have some fun with some of the fans that are going to be in attendance.
Yeah, it's going to be just wild wall-to-wall coverage. I want to ask you a question about USC because this is, I guess, kind of rare. Clay Helton is the one new coach. Second time in 3 years the Trojans had an in-season change. And obviously you're there at the heartbeat of the league. You work with former Trojans like Curtis Conway and Matt. So the people you've heard from, did they like that move, giving Helton the gig?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people wanted consistency and they wanted less drama. They didn't want to see another coaching change. I mean, the reality is, in the last few years, it's kind of like the coaching changes at SC have come with, a wind change. And I think to have this program now have a steady leader in Clay Helton, who doesn't necessarily have all the flair that came with a hire like Lane Kiffin or a hire like Steve Sarkisian, I think is, in a lot of ways, a good thing for this program. Ronnie Lott, who's another SC guy that is going to be in town with us, Ronnie loved the hire. And I think right now they have so many weapons, not only on offense but on defense, that if you're worried about Max Brown, and I'm not, I think he's a really confident kid who's got the ability to lead this program, there's no reason to say that USC can't be the representative to the South in the Pac-12 championship game. And you and I both know that week one game against Alabama. in a lot of ways, I mean, that's, everyone's going to be talking about it. It's all eyes. This is a golden opportunity for the hiccups that Clay Helton had in those last two games down the stretch in the Pac-12 championship game and the bowl game to really right the ship. Can you imagine what the narrative is going to be about Clay Helton if they get that week one win against Alabama? I mean, anyone who at all doubted, you literally have to just seal your mouth and not say anything for a really long time. I mean, that's a huge win. But I still look at their schedule, and it is it's not easy. We know about Alabama. They obviously have Oregon. To go up to Seattle and play against the Washington team, I think it's going to be in the conversation in that North. UCLA, obviously, who's had their number in recent memory. And then Notre Dame. I mean, that's a really tough go for a USC team that has had some issues the last few seasons.
If USC beats Bama, I think the SEC secedes from the union. Last year, I don't imagine there was a program in league or nationally who just crushed expectations like Washington State. I mean, winning 9 games, beating Miami in a bowl game. You had Mike Leach on your Give Me a Sense podcast about 10, 11 days ago. So, two questions. Who's the most famous person in his phone, and how on your toes do you have to be when you interview a guy like Coach Leach?
You know, the best part about that show with Coach Leach was we talked no football. That was the entire point. Every time he comes on set with us or he's on one of our studio shows, he legitimately doesn't want to talk football. I mean, and then I get yelled at. Someone's in my ear saying, Mike, you gotta get him on football. Like, enough of this. And I'm like, dude, this stuff is gold. Like, let him just go. I actually think Donald Trump's probably the most famous person in his phone right now.
Wow.
I would say this. He might not be the most liked person in his phone, but he's going to be the most famous person in Mike Leach's phone. But I think the point that you make about Washington State is spot on, considering the struggles that they had 2 seasons ago, the fact that they lost their bowl game 3 years ago. I mean, first bowl win since 2003 against an established program. Defensively with Alex French, they seem to really have turned the corner on that side of the football. And I think Luke Falk is legitimately a dark horse contender for the Heisman this year.
Oh, that's a bold call. Before I let you go, I want to, you know, give you a kind of a chance to do what you would call a radio reset. So, you know, this is kind of the semi-official kickoff to the season, Pac-12 Media Day. You'll be the host on all the networks. But what do you guys have up your sleeves that, you know, you're going to be able to provide all this great coverage for fans who, let's face it, as much as we love basketball and baseball and other sports, there's a certain element of fans who are just like football, football, football.
Yeah, well, I think it starts with the personalities, right? I mean, it's the personalities and the stories. And I think over the 2 days on Thursday and Friday on the Pac-12 Network for these Media Day shows, it's 8 hours of the people that you want to hear from, because it's the stars of these programs. It's the coaches who are going to have to answer questions about the upcoming year and maybe some questions that they don't want to have to address. But we're going to be doing that. And some of the stories behind some of the student athletes. I mean, just off the top of my head, you know, Zach Banner, a couple months back, gets stuck on an elevator. I mean, he is as personable an athlete as there is. The fact that, you know, we're going to have guys like Gabe Marks who are not shy about giving their opinion, and at least for your guys' audience in Eugene, you know, how weird is it that Mark Helfrich, I did a radio interview the other day, and someone asked me if Mark Helfrich's seat was warm, and I knew I was going to be coming on your show, and I was going to turn the tables on you, Steve, and ask you that question. Is that seat warm? Because last time I checked, he's won a Rose Bowl. He's won a Pac-12 championship. And he was literally a few minutes away from winning a national championship. And that's not that long ago. And now all of a sudden, if Vernon Adams is healthy last year, we're not having this conversation if the seat is warm. I guess I answered my own question, but I'll ask you anyway.
No, when you bottom out at 9 wins, I'm going to use a kind of a common term around here. We have what you would call a nouveau riche element of Duck fans who all of a sudden, because they're all in, expectations are geared around what makes them happy. So I think for rational fans who have been with the program forever and understand how cutthroat this conference is, no. I mean, hey, he goes 2-10. Yeah, he's on a warm seat. That's not going to happen. So for the rational fans here, I don't think the seat is that warm. But like I said, they all of a sudden struggle this year, win 6 or 7 games with expectations, maybe a little bit more, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it totally makes sense to me. I think it's going to come down to, and I think this is unfortunate for him, if that's the expectation level. And I understand why it's set that high, but if you're now relying potentially on another FCS quarterback, that, you know, that worries me a little bit. And I'm not saying that Dakota can't be that guy that leads the team. I mean, Vernon Adams clearly was that guy last year, and
yep,
as I made reference to, he's healthy, they're winning football games. They're not losing that bowl game. And we're talking about another really good season for the Oregon Ducks. I just, it worries me that, you know, that his potential fate, which is still ridiculous to me considering the success that he has had, is hinging on another quarterback that's an unknown.
Yeah, they've upgraded substantially. So this is a one-year stopgap. Then I think they'll get back to pumping out quality quarterbacks who play 2 and 3 years. But before I let you go, I mean this in all seriousness. Curtis Conway has been a guest on this show many times. He's such a class act and a great guy.
Yeah.
Would you please just send along our belated condolences for people who aren't aware? Obviously, he lost his father-in-law, Muhammad Ali. And so if you could just tell him, the guys from Eugene just wanted me to give you a kind of hello, and we were thinking about him. So
I will absolutely pass that along. I know it was certainly a tough time for him and Layla, and some of the things that they've had to deal with. We talked the other day, and actually I know in a lot of ways, you know, going to the funeral, experiencing that, and also seeing the amount of people that come out, that came out to support, I think really meant a lot to the family. And look, I'll say this, his stories are amazing when it comes to Muhammad Ali. I mean, it's just, they're off the charts. He lights up. He gets more excited to talk about Muhammad than he does anything that he's ever done professionally in football in the NFL or at USC. And
that's saying a lot.
I know it was tough. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. And none of the stories are ever about boxing. And I'd say the same thing about when you're watching the coverage, did anyone even talk about him as a boxer?
No.
I mean, it's all the stuff that he did away from the sport. And it's a tough time, and I really do wish that more athletes use the platform, you know, to really affect change. And Lord knows there's enough things going on in the news right now that certainly could use, some big-time backing.
All right. We would really appreciate that. Follow Mike on Twitter. Use the handle Mike_Yam. Catch his work on the Pac-12 networks. And now take some time. Check out the Give Me a Sense podcast. Hey, Mike, always great catching up. And we'll see about making reservations for the Garden. Thanks a million. And enjoy a Thursday and Friday.
Absolutely. I'm up your way in August for the training camp tour, so I'll definitely try to stop by the studio.
Awesome. Look forward to it, pal. You have a good one.
All right.
All right. Take it easy.